This month, our theme is truth. And one of the deep truths that came to me was that ever since the beginning, once our ancestors created clothing from animal skins and tools from stone and bone, surfaces on which to cook, we have been inventing, crafting, purchasing, and collecting stuff. There's the stuff of daily life, clothing, cooking pots and utensils, containers to carry and store things, and furniture to sit and sleep on. Then there's all the other stuff we love and think we need: books, musical instruments, cell phones, computers, power tools, toys, memorabilia, and sports equipment. Our stuff surrounds us. It drives us to earn more money, creates clutter, and brings comfort and happiness. And it uses up resources of all kinds. George Carlin was said to say that all life is about finding a place for our stuff, that our houses are just places we keep our stuff, a pile of stuff with a cover on it. And when we are up in an airplane and look down, when we see all those rooftops, we are really just seeing everyone's little piles of stuff. I get that, especially in the days right after Christmas. For those of you who know about the Marie Kondo phenomena, I decided to preach on stuff back in November, or maybe early December, not after that Netflix TV show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo had hit the airwaves and my Facebook feed, and seemingly every conversation I had back in early January. For those of you who don't know, Marie Kondo is a Japanese organizing consultant who has sold millions of copies of her books and now has a TV show. She calls for tidying, which in practice pushes us Americans to get rid of a ton of our stuff by asking the question for each item that we own: does this spark joy? She suggests that we take out, quite literally, every object that we own, from our closets, bookshelves, kitchen cupboards, toy chests, every item in our garages, drawers, and everywhere, and open the possibility that we no longer need or want it. Open the possibility that each object is no longer giving us joy and that it is no longer needed in our homes. Open the possibility that we should give it away. She invites us to divest ourselves of stuff by choosing what we want to keep, not what we want to get rid of. And she says to do it now, tidying Marie Kondo style. Now, I decided on this sermon back in the late fall when I went to a friend's house and I saw pretty much what you see on the cover of the order of service. I couldn't get into my friend's house because of the piled Amazon boxes. There was a wall of Amazon boxes, and that got me thinking about the inflow of stuff into our homes. Amazon is one culprit, Amazon Prime, and a disclaimer, I use it too. The sudden irrepressible need, to borrow the words from our song earlier, for gadgets and gizmos aplenty. Treasures untold. Yeah. That's where we're living right now. Now, would our kids come up with any items that they are ready to give away? We'll put them in a box and take them to a good place. Did anybody go through their closets and come up with something? We've already got a few objects in here that are left over. Oh, thank you. Yeah, those look like they aren't ready. They aren't what you need anymore, right? Anybody else? We've already gotten some things left over from the recent mini thrift store sale. And as has already been done, I want to thank the people who did tidying up here over the weekend. Now, back to the acquiring of stuff. The ease of online purchases is astounding, if not addictive. It turns out that humans get a dopamine hit from buying stuff, according to research by Anne Christine Duhame, a professor at Harvard Medical School. As she says, as a general rule, your brain tweaks you to want more and more, both of stuff and of stimulation and novelty, because that helped you survive in the distant past with brain evolution. Online shopping allows us to get that dopamine hit twice. First at the purchase, and then again when the arrival of the box. In fact, she thinks that online shopping may be more physiologically rewarding, we could parse that term, than shopping in stores. For those of you who follow Deep Space Nine, which my high school age son introduced me to a few years ago, this is a Star Trek spinoff, and there's a species in the starship called the Ferengi. They're the ones with the big ears. The Ferengi are famous for living by rules, which they call the rules of acquisition. Rule 97 fits in here. It is enough is never enough, says Quark, the main Ferengi character on the spaceship. Is that who we are becoming? Is that who we are? And of course, my dad was right. In the words of the founder of the Sharper Image catalog, there are a lot of businesses and purchases predicated on what we do not need. My beloved grandmother, who helped raise me, was a hoarder. I don't think that she was a hoarder all of her life, but it struck after she and my grandfather went bankrupt and lost everything. At that time, they moved from California to Washington with almost nothing. So she started to amass and collect. She was a gifted seamstress and could make anything from anything. That meant she always saw what could be made from what she owned, if she had the time and the energy, which, as she aged, she didn't. She didn't focus on what was actually in front of her, but on its potential. And personally, I'm confident that the stress of her stuff shortened her life. Research at the University of Chicago has shown that clutter can negatively impact the mental well-being of all of us, but particularly women. Clutter can also raise levels of cortisol, a stress hormone. I am confident that was my grandmother's reality. Look at it this way. I know someone who has worked for the Foreign Service for many international assignments. This family of five was allowed to ship 800 pounds of stuff from each Foreign Service post to the next. But the guidance was that about 10% of that would be used by packing crates and materials. So that really turns into 720 pounds. And the family would incur, I think it was about $5 per pound of any weight over that 720 pounds. What would you take? What would you leave behind? If this was your life, would you travel light or hold on to, and I'm just going to say to name one of the things that is my weakness, every Christmas ornament? So, stress from too much stuff, what is the antidote for that? Marie Kondo and her creation of unhurried spaciousness through purging is one. Donations to local charities such as Goodwill are up 300% across the first part of this year. That may have had something to do with the government shutdown and giving people some time to go through their stuff. Or maybe there's a tipping point that we're entering where we are reevaluating the stuff in our lives. On a more spiritual note, I love the quote on the cover of the Order of Service. Maria Kalman wrote, "We see trees. What more do we need? What more do we need than trees and beauty and nature around us? Have we given our stuff too much power?" In the words of UU minister and frugality master, Reverend Jane Dwinnell, "Our stuff will not protect us from tragedy. Our stuff will not make us important or athletic or interesting. Our stuff is just stuff. The emotions attached to our things lie in our heads, not in each pair of pants, each plate, each chair, or each pair of earrings. Our memories lie within us as well. We will still have them, even if our stuff is gone. Ask people who have suffered a calamity like a fire, flood, hurricane, divorce, or death. We will be okay with less stuff. I know it, and I hope you do too." Our kids were able to give away some stuff with a very little bit of notice. Is that maybe what we want to do as well? But now I have to get back to cereal. This one came from one of my husband's big kids who loves cereal. If he'd done what I'd actually asked him, he would have given us not Fruit Loops, but Lucky Charms. I try to collect and savor upbeat news stories. There are so many distressing stories. Sometimes it feels like there is no good news in our world. But recently in the Washington Post, I saw a story with the image that you have on the back of your music notes. I had a really hard time seeing it. What was that? Can you figure it out? You know, teachers get a lot of presents around Christmas. How many mugs, boxes of chocolates, or notepads can one person use?
Don't forget candles and soap.
Candles and soap, okay, how many? But one teacher in Kennewick, Washington, got a gift this year that stood out from all the rest. One student gave her this bag of Lucky Charm marshmallows. The child who gave it to her may not have thought she had anything to give. The teacher explained, "So rather than give me nothing, this student opened up her free breakfast cereal in the morning, took the packaging of her spork, straw, and napkin, and finally took the time to take every marshmallow out of her cereal to put it in a bag for me. Because," she said, "everybody knows the marshmallows are the sweetest part." Yes, there's a use of breakfast cereal that is fine with me, and maybe would have even been okay for my dad. Blessed be.